called walking in the grace of God. Let's pray. Father, I thank you for your grace, the grace that you have given to us. And Father, I pray that each one of us would not only hear what you have to say to us, but you would help us in applying this great message of grace, your message of our salvation. Help us to apply it so that we can walk in it and be transformed by its power. Father, I thank you for your love. That it's out of your love that you gave us Jesus, the one who is full of grace and truth. And I pray, Lord God, we would walk in your grace. We thank you, Lord. Amen. How many of you have heard about the Ebola virus? That is an outbreak that's happened in West Africa. And it has affected over 6,000 people, bringing about the death of 6,000 people. This particular strain of the Ebola virus, this light is so bright, like the light of Jesus Christ. This particular strain of the Ebola virus is so deadly that it's called the most lethal of all viruses. It has killed over 70% of the people it has infected. But a lot of people, it's not much concern to them because it's over there in Africa. It's not here in the United States. And so it's not even on our prayer radar. But then we hear news. Just in September, there was another virus outbreak, and it was called human enterovirus D68, and it has infected thousands of children and causing them to be on the brink of potentially dying because it's a respiratory virus. Now, some of you, it might not have been much concern to you because you don't have children. Or if you have children, it's just news. So it's not on your prayer radar. But there is a virus-like agent that has produced death of many, many individuals. And this one should be on your prayer radar. It is submicroscopic in nature. It is the most lethal of all viruses or viral-like agents that have been known to mankind. And this is spiritual in nature. It is spread like wildfire, causing the spiritual death of all mankind. This death-like agent, viral in nature, is called sin. And this is what it says in the Word of God in Romans 5:12. Therefore, just as through one man, sin entered the world and death through sin. And then it says this, and thus death spread to all men because all sinned. The entire bloodline of mankind was infected by one man's sin. Romans 5:19 says this, for as by one man's disobedience, many were made sinner. Now this should be of concern to every one of us. Doesn't matter what country or state we live in. It doesn't matter if we have children or we don't have children, because it has infected every human being. At the moment of natural conception, this death-like virus instantly causes the spiritual death of individuals as represented by this black vase. Adam was born with a spiritual nature like God, But because of his sin, instantly, his spirit man died. And it was through the blood of Jesus Christ that now we can enter in to having our spirits like the spirit of the first Adam before he sinned. Your spirit man is spirit, and thus it's hidden from your natural eye. You can't see it, and it's hidden from even you. Therefore, you don't see these death-like things that are happening until you start experiencing death-like symptoms. You might experience these death-like symptoms in your physical body. You might experience them in your emotions, your mind, your circumstances, your job, your finances. They're real. And weekly in the Camrio healing rooms, people are coming in with these death-like symptoms of all sorts and all natures, and they are crying out for help. Their cry goes something like this. I heard it, actually, in the healing room this week. Help me. Save me. Deliver me. I have heard the cry. You have heard the cry. We all understand and have heard this cry. It doesn't just happen in the healing rooms, but it happens wherever we go. Paul voiced this cry of mankind when he said in Romans 7:24, "Oh, wretched man that I am, who will deliver me from this body of death?" He answers his rhetorical question in Romans 7:25. What is it? I thank God through our Lord Jesus Christ. Let's all say that. I thank God through our Lord Jesus Christ, for that is the answer to these death-like symptoms and death itself. And God is so willing to answer our cry. He answered it by sending us his son, Jesus Christ, to save us from death itself. But not all of us come and turn to Jesus in our time of need, and therefore we don't receive the life that he wants to offer us. Jesus said this in John 5:40. He says, "But not all are willing to come to me that they might receive life." It's so funny. There are times when Jesus comes to us, showing us our need, rather than us going to Jesus because we have a need. And that's what happened to the Apostle Paul at the time of his conversion. He is about telling people that anyone that believes in Jesus, he's wanting that to kill them, right? And all of a sudden, Jesus appears to him, and he receives Jesus as a Savior and Lord, and he's born again of the Spirit of God. And how do you explain these kind of things to people that come into the healing rooms? I was trying to explain it to a lady this week, and she's going like, I can't get what you're saying. And I thought, man, the things that I've come to believe, they seem so strange to those that don't, haven't never heard. I explained these things. And she then received Jesus Christ as her Lord and Savior for the first time. And since I began this journey of healing rooms, I was just thinking about it this weekend. I was thinking, wow, I have led more people to salvation than ever in my life. And it's not because of the healing rooms. It's because I have begun to understand this message of God's grace. So how do you put an experience like Paul into words? The closest experience that I have ever heard like Paul's in the natural realm is when a man stood on a pulpit, and I've told you this testimony before, and he had end-stage cancer. He did not believe in Jesus Christ, just like Paul. Had nothing to want to do with Jesus, but he did want some help, so his son brought him to somebody to pray for. And this little boy lays a hands on him. He goes down in the spirit for 30 minutes. He's out, no one's touching him, and he encounters Jesus. And Jesus, in that experience, appears to him and says, "I am healing your body." And he's totally healed when he wakes up from this experience. But Jesus says to him, as he's under the Spirit, He appears to him and says to him, would you like to receive me as your Savior and Lord? Do you think this is what could have happened to Paul during his experience? That man received Jesus Christ as Lord and still is a follower of Jesus Christ. Amen? We don't understand experiences like this. Paul, he tries to explain this experience that he had. And it's all summed up in this one word, grace. This huge word, he talks about the exceeding grace of God, the abundant grace of God, the grace for grace. He gives it all kinds of adjectives to describe this grace. And he spends his entire life, even he does it at the great cost of life itself, being willing to die for this message of the gospel of grace because he understood deeply, deeply what grace would mean to the human race. And what grace would mean would be basically that we would be brought out from death into life. Romans 8:2. For the law of sin and death we would be delivered from so that we could have the law of the life of Christ Jesus in us and we could live by it. Paul, he understood that when he was born again, he was born of an incorruptible seed, a seed that was not tainted by the seed of death like all of us have been tainted by when we are born again. He was born of an incorruptible seed, but how? How could he have been born? How could Jesus have not escaped? How could he have escaped being born of this corrupted seed that happened through the first Adam? How could it be? We were all tainted by it, but Jesus was not tainted by it. Scientific evidence has shown what the Bible has already declared to us. The Bible says Jesus knew no sin, 1 Corinthians 15, 5:21. 2 Corinthians 5:21 says he knew no sin. Matthew 1:18 says this, now, the birth of Jesus was as follows. After his mother Mary was betrothed to Joseph, before they came together, she was found with child of the Holy Spirit. So it's telling us that Joseph is not Jesus' biological father, but rather Jesus was born of the Spirit. In other words, God the Father was his father. And now scientifically it has been shown that the blood of the fetus is not derived from the mother. It does not come from the mother's blood. Rather, the blood of the fetus, the arteries and veins and the blood of the fetus, is produced within the child only after the seed is introduced from the male parent. And throughout the life of the baby, not one drop of blood is transferred from the mother to the child or from the child to the mother. Wait a minute, Sue. How could the baby live? Well, the nutrients are transferred. The proteins, the carbohydrates, the fats, the antibodies, all that kind of stuff, are transferred from the mother to the child, and the waste products from the child are transferred through the mother, through the placenta, but not the blood. This means that the Immaculate Conception of Jesus, that his blood, because of this Immaculate Conception, was untainted by the bloodline of Adam that came through Adam's sin. This means that when Jesus was born, he was born holy, without spot or blemish. That was his blood. Jesus, because he knew no sin, like 2 Corinthians 5:21 tells us, he was never under the curse of sin. He did not know sin from his birth and he did not know sin throughout his life. Therefore, what happened? He died. He died on the cross. So, Sue, he was under the death curse because he died on the cross. No. He did something that was so unusual. See, Jesus, throughout his entire life, he was born with righteousness for his nature, as represented by this white robe. Throughout his life, he wore this spiritual robe. But because he loved us so much, he decided that he, you know, long before we were ever born, or it was even in the thought, you know, when the world was created, he had chosen that one day, because of man's sin, that he would allow this robe to be taken off of him right before the cross. They took his garments. And he took upon himself our sin, coming under the curse of death itself. And he chose then and allowed himself to die on the cross so that you and I could take the garments of salvation and the robe of righteousness. Amen? But it's a choice whether we take this robe or whether we don't take it. Romans 1:16. Well, I want to back up. 2 Corinthians 5:21 says, "For he made him who knew no sin to become sin for us, that we would become the righteousness of God in Christ Jesus." In the book of Romans, it is one of the most complete presentations of the gospel of grace. So if you want to know about grace, read Romans, especially Romans 1 through 8. Romans 1, 16 through 17, Paul sums up his entire book of Romans, and you guys all know this. "For I am not ashamed of the gospel of Christ, for it is the power of God unto our salvation, for the Jews first, for everyone who believes, for the Jews first, and also for the Greeks. For in it the righteousness of God is revealed from faith to faith. As it is written, the just shall live by faith." Everyone, each one of us, gets to choose whether we're going to receive the message of the gospel of our salvation, the message of the gospel of grace, or whether we are going to reject it. If we are accepting the gift of salvation, we are accepting God's gift of righteousness, the righteousness that God himself possesses. The day that we are born again, we receive the righteousness of God. This means that we cannot increase in righteousness through our good deeds. And it means that we will always carry this nature within our spirit man. Before I begin to talk to you about walking in the grace of God, we need to understand that the receiving of our righteousness or our salvation happens in three tenses. You've heard this before. We have justification. Justification happens in our spirit man. Once we are born again, it becomes a past tense reality. But if we want to walk in what Jesus has given us through justification, we must undergo sanctification. And that's what happens in our soul and our body as we walk in the grace of God, or in the righteousness that he has given unto us. And then there's glorification, and that's the future tense reality of what happens in our body when we receive glorified bodies. Justification. We need to understand what happens when we are justified, when we are made just as if we have never sinned because of the blood of Jesus Christ. Romans 6, verses 1 through 10 explain about our justification. When we invite Jesus Christ into our heart, two major things happen. We have now a new legal position before God, and then we receive all that belongs to Jesus Christ. Jesus wanted to make this point to us in the story of the prodigal son. Luke 15, 31, he says to the elder son, "All I have is yours." Just like Pastor Steve, he knows that. When I found out that verse, that really rocked my world because I needed healing, and that meant healing belonged to me. And that verse transformed my thinking as well as my life. When two people are joined in marriage, there is a legal transaction. 1 Corinthians 6:17 says this, "But he who is joined to the Lord is one spirit with him." So just not something legally happens, something that we can hardly wrap our minds around happens to us. And the best way I know to explain this is that, you know, in a marriage, one partner brings what they possess, and the other partner brings what they possess, and they bring it into union with one another. We bring our dollars, or I should say our cents, into the relationship with Jesus Christ, and he brings his trillions and trillions and trillions of dollars, and I'm not just talking about financial money, into the relationship, and he says, "We're one." Is that fabulous? That's the message of grace. Ephesians 2:4 says that what he's brought into the relationship is so exceeding that we are going to discover it in the ages to come. Romans 5:17 summarizes the wealth that all of us have received. "For if by the one man's offense, death reigned through sin, much more those who receive the abundance of grace, as represented by this box, and the gift of righteousness shall reign in this life." This box says all things are possible. It was actually given to me by my girlfriend in around 2010 when I was sick and without hope and did not believe that all things were possible. Since then, I have understood what all things are possible means. It is really listed very clearly in Psalm 103. "Bless the Lord, O my soul. He forgives all of our sins, heals all of our diseases, redeems our life from the pit of destruction, crowns our life with loving kindness and compassion, and satisfies our mouth with good things." All things he has given to us. All I have is yours. So if you open the box, you open up the life of Jesus Christ and what he has given to us, there's many, 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 many gifts in it. But we must take the abundance of grace and thank him for it and begin to use what he has given to us. And none of this would have been possible unless he gave us the gift of righteousness. This gift of righteousness has allowed us to have access to his grace through faith. Amen? So those are gifts that we should never, ever forget about, the gift of God. It was interesting. Gino, last week, he talked about an umbrella, and he tried to give the umbrella to, you know, somebody that was out in the rain and really needed it, but they refused the umbrella. God has given us gifts, and we get the choice whether we're going to refuse them or accept them. Okay. This girlfriend that gave me this box this year, she was diagnosed with macular degeneration. She's one of my closest friends. She came into the prayer rooms here, received prayer, and her diagnosis went from macular degeneration. She was told, you got to go to UCLA right away, and if you don't, blah, 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 blah. And when she got to UCLA, they do all their stuff, and they go, you don't have macular degeneration. What happened? God healed her eyes, and she thanks God because she received this abundance of grace that God had given her. Now I'm going to talk about sanctification, what happens in our soul and our bodies as we receive the abundance of his grace and as we walk in it. Tell you about a testimony of a homeless man that I heard this Friday night as I went to this place, this church, where they show all have hundreds and hundreds and hundreds of nativity scenes set up, and it's to raise funds for the homeless. And he gets up and he tells his testimony. He was living in the sand dunes, he didn't say where, and he was destitute. And somebody, like you and I, approach him and says, do you like living like you're living? What a question to ask someone who's homeless. And he said, no, I don't. There's so many people that have this no, I don't, but they don't know what to do. And the person says, I can lead you and show you where you can receive help and no longer be homeless. And that's what we need to do as Christians. Believers and unbelievers alike are living like homeless people because we don't understand the grace of God that has been given to us. And if we understand it, for some reason, we don't choose to tap into it or walk in it on a regular basis. I'm going to describe three principles that have been transforming my life as I have applied them, especially this last year, and learned how to apply them. It comes from Romans 6, verses 11 through 13. Romans 6, 11. Likewise, you also reckon yourself to be dead indeed to sin, but alive to God in Christ Jesus, our Lord. Reckon yourself. Reckon. That's a faith principle. It means to see ourselves as God sees us through what the blood of Jesus Christ has done for us and according to what the Word of God says about us. Like I said, these things of the Spirit are very, very hard to explain to those who don't know about them. The only way that we understand the things of the Spirit is by the Word of God. The Word of God is what connects us to the Spirit of God because it is a mirror or a reflection of what exists in the spirit realm. Reckon yourself to what? To be dead to sin, but alive to Jesus Christ. There are four major things that we need to reckon when it comes to reckoning ourselves to be dead to sin and alive to Jesus Christ. Number one, we need to reckon that we are no longer under the reign. Well, this is the overarching one. No longer under the reign of sin. Number one, we're no longer under condemnation. We're no longer under the penalty of sin. That's huge. So therefore, we are not enemies of God any longer. Rather, we are under the reign of grace where the smile of God is upon us. And we have the ability to enter into this enjoyable, affectionate relationship with God because nothing now is separating us from God. Our sin is no longer separating us. Number two, we are no longer under being powerless. We need to reckon that. We are now filled, as this candle shows us, filled with the very Spirit of God Himself. I say this to myself now all and throughout this entire year. I encounter situation after situation after situation, and I say to myself, I am no longer powerless. This has been a powerful phrase to me. Okay, describe one situation. First of all, I lost all my administrative help this year in the Cameo Healing Rooms, taking on responsibilities that I have not done in my life, like finances, like my husband can tell you, and all sorts of administrative responsibilities, website design, all this kind of stuff. Shortly after that, the Cameo Healing Rooms website crashes. I am no longer powerless. At that time, I was in Chris Dickerman's Bible study on the book of Daniel, and my prayer was like this. I said, okay, Lord, I'm in the den. The lions are surrounding me. In fact, the lions have already ate my website. And I said, but I'm not powerless. I have you living inside of me. And at that time, I knelt down in my office. I got communion, knelt down, and I took communion. And I said, I am coming underneath the power of your blood. And I am asking you now that these lions will not devour this website. In the natural, it looked devoured. Yeah. That night, I get this idea to call, and I don't understand anything, so I thought, you know, anything they're going to tell me to do, I'm going to have to ask somebody, so I better type it out. So I had my computer ready, typing it out. And the guy says, your website is completely gone, the host or whatever he's called, you know, over the website stuff. And somebody had tried to fix it all day, and they couldn't, and they go, it's gone. So now I'm calling, like, you know, the president, kind of like, over all this. I don't understand it. And he goes, it's gone. And then he says, I can't believe what I'm seeing before my eyes. And I'm writing this down, I'm typing everything, you know. And he says, this is an IT miracle. What happened? The power of God, number two. So we're no longer powerless. We're not under condemnation. Number three, we're no longer destitute. We're no longer homeless beggars under a bridge, wondering where our help is going to come from. But we are now filled with the very grace of God. Grace for grace, wave after wave after wave of grace we're filled with. Because the one who is full of grace and truth is living in our life. Amen? Okay. And number three. We are no longer living under the veil of deception, living in darkness, because now God has revealed himself through his word. And now we are able to receive the very spirit and life in this word, which is Jesus Christ himself. So reckon yourself dead to sin and alive to God through Christ Jesus. This is what gave me the greatest confidence when I was sick, when I understood who I was in Christ Jesus. Like Pastor Steve said many, many times, we're coming to the throne of grace to receive his mercy and his help in our time of need because of one thing and one thing only, not by our good deeds like I was trying to do to earn my salvation, to earn my healing, because I didn't know who I was in Christ. But we receive it because of one thing, the blood of the Lamb that was given to us because of God's grace for us. Amen? Amen. Okay. Principle number two, which is Romans 6, 12 through the first part of 13. Therefore, do not let sin reign in your mortal body that you should obey it in its lust. And do not present your members as instruments of unrighteousness to sin. Do not let sin reign in your mortal body. That means we get to either accept sin or reject it. Do not let sin reign. What is Isaiah? I think it's 26:3. It says, let the peace of God. Don't let sin reign. Let the peace of God rule and reign over your heart. So we have a part to play. We got to walk in this grace in order to experience the grace of God. Some of the greatest ways that sin wants to reign in us, and we need to say no to it, and you guys are all familiar, I am. Okay, anger, bitterness, slander, fear, anxiety. What happens? My girlfriend, Friday night, she tells me of something like she feels tragic, and I hear the agreement of the words of the enemy in her mouth. And I said, I'm looking you in the face, sister. I said, no, this is not going to happen. And she goes, but. And she explained to me her emotions. We got to say no to the reign of anger and all kinds of fear and anxiety and emotions ruling and reign. We need to say yes, because the fruit, the Holy Spirit is living in us, and we're not powerless. We get to challenge those emotions because the fruit of the Holy Spirit is in us. Peace, joy, love, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, and what? Self-control. We get to control this. You know, when the virus that tried to take down my computer, I was looking on malware, which is viruses that take over a computer, and you know what it says their goal is? To take control. Sin is viral like in nature. It wants to take control, but we got to say, no. We put up our defense, the blood of Jesus Christ, and then we have to walk in the grace that he has given to us. Okay, the second component of resisting sin, don't present your members as instruments of righteousness. In other words, don't place your body in situations and circumstances that are going to entice sin. If you put the members of your body in front of the flame of hell, you're going to get burned. But rather, put your body, the members of your body, as instruments of righteousness to God. And let the flame of his passion, of his love, consume you rather than allowing hell to consume you. Principle number 3, Romans 6:13. But present yourselves to God as being alive from dead, and your members as instruments of righteousness to God. We present ourselves to God on the basis of one thing, not according to our good deeds, but according to what the blood of Jesus has done for us. We present ourselves to God as righteous ones, holy ones. And when we present ourselves out in this world out here to others, we present ourselves as righteous ones, holy ones. So what happens in the healing rooms? If I just have a blow up, I get angry at, you know, say my daughter or something like that before I come in the healing rooms, what happens? Oh, I can't minister. I'm not holy. I'm not righteous. No, I say, God, because of your blood, I ask for your forgiveness from this. And I thank you now that I am able to come under your grace, your forgiveness, and now I'm going to walk according to that. Because sin will tempt us, and we will fall into the temptation of sin, but we need to know how we access the grace of God. And one of the biggest ways that I found to access the grace of God, coming into agreement, is taking what he offers to us, the fullness of it, as Psalm 103 says, and I start thanking him. Okay, anger rises up. Thank you, God, for peace. Whew! That fire gets put out. We might be able to walk in it for a while. That the thought comes, that person, thank you for peace. I'm not powerless over this. I'm going to allow your peace to rule and reign. Amen? Okay. How many people know the saying? It says, God said it. I believe it. What? That settles it. No, it doesn't. I was really encouraged by that, and I said that for years. But when you learn what God says about walking in his grace, it does not settle it. You are just talking about your justification. You're not talking about your sanctification. So this is how it should go. God said it. I believe it. Therefore, I'm going to start meditating on it, allowing my mind to be renewed by it. Then I'm going to start saying what he says and doing what he's doing. So I will walk in the grace of God. So therefore, I will experience the grace of God. And therefore, Romans 6:14 will be true for my life. Sin shall not have dominion over me. For I'm not under the law, but I'm under his grace. And then we will experience Romans 5:17. We will experience the reign of God's grace in our life. Because we have chosen to accept his gift of righteousness and the abundance of his grace. Amen? Amen? Amen. So let's all close our eyes. And we're going to make this declaration over our own lives. God, you said it. I believe it. I will meditate on your word day and night so it'll transform my mind. And I will say it, and I will do it. I declare like Paul, Galatians 2:20, I have been crucified with Christ. It is no longer I who live, but Christ who lives within me. And the life which I now live in the flesh, in this world, I choose to live by faith in the Son of God, who loved me and gave himself for me. I will not set aside the grace of God, for if righteousness comes from the law, then Christ died in vain. Amen. So that concludes my message for this morning. I will end with a testimony that I was just told Thursday at lunch, one of my closest girlfriends. You know, you pray with your friends, and I just love it when my friends and my family start to be affected in some fashions by the message of grace that I have received. So she understood, and she would ask me even this year, she says, is it true my church doesn't teach us that God heals? And I says, yes, it's true. Now, she's been praying for that. We've been praying for her daughter for many, 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 many years now. Her daughter's in her mid-30s, and she gave me permission to tell this. She was diagnosed with a certain condition and struggling with it for many years now. And at times, losing all hope, wanting to give up on life itself. And a condition developed in her body, just one of the conditions I'm going to tell you about in the victory. The condition that developed in her body was that she had the bones of a 60-year-old person, 30 years old. She chose to go back to the doctor. That was 2 years ago. She chose to go to the doctor this year, and I just heard Thursday over lunch the good news of the gospel of grace, that her daughter's bones are like a 30-year-old. And the doctor said, this is a medical wonder. The wonderful message of the gospel of grace. Amen. For those that would like to receive prayer and this morning, whether you